In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of you may be starting to figure out as I give these examples that I'm a big fan of television, especially Netflix. After working all day, sometimes on sermons, sometimes on the life of the church, and then coming home and feeding my children and getting the house clean and getting them to bed, there's nothing like kicking back and tuning in to the smorgasbord of unbridled entertainment at my fingertips. So this past week after the vestry meeting, I indulged in the show Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. It's about, as the title alludes, an approach called the KonMari method, which is purported to make one never revert to clutter again when practiced. At the heart of the method is to spark joy. The show is in the self-improvement genre. One of my friends commented, "The show Tidying Up is only helpful if you then go and put it into practice, versus just going on to the next episode and hoping the energy hits with that one." It's like watching the extreme weight loss show The Biggest Loser while polishing off a pint of ice cream. Well, I have to admit, I watched Tidying Up with untidied toys at my feet and a stack of unread books on the couch. Well, I have some good news for you today about sparking joy. Whether your house is tidy or not, Jesus is all about sparking joy. Let's look at the lesson today from John. Jesus began his public ministry with a miracle of joy. His family's at a wedding and the wine is about to run out. Jesus' mother prompts what happens next. "Jesus, son, there's no wine." And at first, Jesus seems to not really care. "What is it to me, Mom?" But then the miracle happens. It's his very first miracle recorded in the Gospel of John when he says, "Go fill up those massive stone jars. Six of them at 20 to 30 gallons each. Fill them up with water and then bring it down to the chief steward." And with massive vats of water turned to wine, that party goes on, I imagine, into the night and maybe into the next day. As Robert Brearley comments, "Sometimes the church has forgotten that our Lord once attended a wedding feast and said yes to gladness and joy. Prompted by his earthly mother, Jesus turned water into wine to point us to his heavenly Father, a God who loved to hear the laughter of people celebrating people. Sometimes the church has forgotten to live the joy of such revelation." Here, Jesus is in a familiar setting, a wedding. While wedding customs vary from culture to culture, most everyone can connect to the problem of running short of food or drink at the party. The problem in this text is that the wine is giving out, but there are all sorts of other ways for a wedding to be ruined and a party to be cut short. You may have experienced social disaster before, and even the threat of those potential moments can evoke in us strong emotions of shame, sometimes compassion, and often anxiety. The big question posed by today's gospel for us today is, will what I have to offer be enough? And not only does Jesus assure that even when it seems like it's not, there is always enough. And that gift is rife with such abundance that all the guests cannot help but overflow with joy. Marie Kondo's method of tidying is meant to spark joy. Jesus' method of miracles, established in the Gospel of John, the second chapter, is not only meant to spark joy, but it's meant to set our hearts on fire with delight. the couple and the hosts of the wedding could have had a disappointing start. A muted party when the wine dried up and everybody went home. But instead, Jesus decides to give an experience of joy as his first miracle. So how do we today access the great miracle of the wedding at Cana? How do we experience an abundance of joy in our lives that can so often feel not quite good enough? Well, I believe the secret is found as we begin several weeks of hearing Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Paul writes to members of the church in Corinth. These people were clear in their minds about which leaders among them were better than others. Who had the abundance of goods and who did not? And there started to be clear dividing lines. It was saying, well, that worship service that I attend is obviously preferable to that other service at church. And none of their approach was to the benefit of the church as a whole. All of the members of the church, all that they could see was what was an aggrandizement of one and what was lacking in the other, and ultimately they were missing the point of being the church. And so Paul gave the Corinthians a reminder of the spark of the Holy Spirit that had been given to each and every one of them. He writes, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I keep referring back to the spiritual gifts inventory that many of you in the parish took last fall. And today, I want to tell you that this is a key to experiencing joy in your life and in the life of the church. Through Jesus Christ, the wedding guests had everything they needed to experience great joy at the wedding in Cana. And through the Holy Spirit, you, me, every single member of the church, we together have everything we need to experience the true joy of together being the church. Over the past couple of months, I've started to hear many of you talk about the ways you are activating your spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit has given gifts to you that serve to build up the church and the kingdom of God in our midst. It gives me goosebumps to think of all that is possible among you very gifted people. And the joy of it is that all of us, every single one of us together, makes this church be all that it's meant to be. Can you imagine if every single one of us activated the gifts the Spirit has bestowed upon us? We're talking about massive deluge of joy here, people, when we live out the gifts that the Holy Spirit has bestowed on us. If we all claimed and owned our spiritual gifts, and if we celebrated those of others in turn, it would be like 180 gallons of good wine miraculously appearing in the middle of the party. The whole community of Clifton and many in the greater Cincinnati area, I can guarantee you, would show up for this party. There's more than enough, and it's right here in our midst. We'll still have conversations on spiritual gifts as a community. I want to invite you to the next one. We're going to gather together over at Calvary House next door on Sunday, February 24th. We'll have lunch and we'll go deeper into the ways that God's inviting us as a community to the abundance of joy awaiting us. When we help each other to discern our gifts by noticing and nurturing the potential in each other, sometimes gifts emerge about which we were completely unaware. And water turns to wine, and joy abounds. How might God use the gifts the Holy Spirit has bestowed upon you? Amen.